We often hear that the Maricopa County Jail is the county's largest mental health facility, full of people who come in and out of the criminal justice system convicted of minor crimes that are often related to their mental illness. The county attorney's office has worked to cut off that cycle for some offenders before, and now it's launching a new partnership aimed at doing the same for some felony offenders who are designated as seriously mentally ill. County Attorney Bill Montgomery has faced criticism for his opposition to attempts at criminal justice reform proposals in the legislature, but he says this is an attempt to expand some internal programs that have seen some success. He signed a contract this month with Southwest Behavioral Health Services to try to offer treatment instead of incarceration for some people whose criminal actions were likely influenced by mental illness. I recently spoke with him more about it in his office, and he says he's seen the way the criminal justice system has worked against some of these people in the past.
You know, I remember one of the earliest repetitive offender cases that I handled when I was a line prosecutor involved an individual who had committed six felonies, convicted of five, most recent felony offense had been dismissed with prejudice because he was found not competent, not restorable. And on my way out of the courtroom, I had an individual ask me if he could talk to me about that defendant in the case. Sure, we stepped outside and happened to be the defendant's brother. And the brother is saying, you've got to convict him and send him to prison so he can get treatment.
That story, he said, made him realize if it weren't for that defendant's mental illness, he would have never come into contact with the criminal justice system in the first place. So the new partnership aims to offer another way. It's part of the county attorney's office's felony pretrial intervention program, which began back in 2015 and has now seen about 1,200 participants. The completion rate for those participants sits at 61%. But for those who make it through, the program can offer a new start.
This represents a concerted effort to identify those particular offenders with what I think we would agree are clearly a distinguishable set of needs from your average or regular first-time felony offender that would otherwise present challenges to us in the criminal justice system being able to provide services to in the first place, let alone try to come up with a diversion program that enables them to earn the opportunity to have their case dismissed with prejudice. The importance of being able to do that, too, is keeping that individual then out of the criminal justice system loop, where maybe due in no small part to their serious mental illness, they're coming into contact with law enforcement, they're then arrested, they're charged. We're trying to figure out in the criminal justice system how best to deal with their issues, which invariably means we're falling short, and then they're released, and then we see them again. There is an assessment done initially. This follows, of course, the designation of someone being seriously mentally ill. That is one hard and fast requirement for this. And then we're able to divert them to a behavioral health provider that can provide specific support to address underlying issues resulting in criminal activity, while also being able to address the mental health needs of that particular individual.
So this is part of, as you mentioned, your felony pretrial intervention program. Give us a sense of how comprehensive that is. I know it was started several years ago as a pilot program. How successful has it been?
Well, we waited until we had 3 years worth of data. And after that 3-year time frame, we had about maybe 350 to 400 people who had gone through the program. Our recidivism rate was about 5%. So 3 years out, 95% of people who had gone through the program, we weren't seeing them again. And then out of the range of offenses, everything from theft to aggravated assault to drug possession and use offenses, I mean, it really spans the spectrum with some important exceptions. We don't include violent offenders, dangerous crimes against children, sexually related offenses. Nope, that's not what this program is for. And when we saw how successful the program was, we then opened it up. We encouraged more offenders to request to be included in the diversion program. So those first 3 years, say, you know, we maxed out at maybe 500 participants. In the year since that, we now have had about another 1,000 participants. And our recidivism rate dropped to about 4%.
And I want to talk a little bit more about the problem you're trying to address here. Like, you often hear it said, right, the Maricopa County Jail is the biggest mental health facility in the county. And it seems like this is what you're trying to avoid. Give us a sense of your perception of that problem and why you wanted to address it.
Sure. Well, as the county attorney, I'm also a stakeholder and a participant in our county's Justice Coordinating Council. A number of years back, we took a look at who was in our jail population. And we did note that there were a lot of folks who were, quote unquote, frequent flyers, and a good chunk of them were there for misdemeanor offenses from municipalities. Well, I never see those cases as a county attorney unless they're going to be filed in a justice court. So what we did as a county was we took a look at trying to figure out, is there a particular profile of offender that we can identify early on in the jail process, match them up with services while they are incarcerated, and then provide wraparound services for their release into the community that would address housing needs, health care, as well as specific needs related to mental illness. And with the resolution of the Arnold v. Sarn case, Maricopa County got upwards of $15 million to help implement this type of a program. And we're seeing success with that. Well, okay, that's really good at identifying that particular part of offender population, because these are individuals who are going to be committing public disorder offenses, urinating in public, littering, loitering. And so they get arrested by police, they're booked into the county jail, they're there for a few weeks, they get released, and then this cycle goes on. Well, those are individuals then who are not getting the level of care that they need. We're not breaking this cycle of criminal justice system involvement, and we're not really dealing with the human aspect of people who are in need. So that's at the misdemeanor or municipal level. We then wanted to see, okay, what can we do at the felony level? We've had a mental health court in Maricopa County for well over a decade, but that's also post-adjudication. That's someone who is then on probation, and there's a place for that too. Well, what if we're able to address these issues before we have to have someone convicted of a crime? I've always said repeatedly that if the only reason we're seeing someone in the criminal justice system is because of a mental illness, then we're not doing enough as a society to provide a place for diagnosis, for treatment at the lowest level of intervention possible. And incarcerating someone in that circumstance is not just. The one other point I need to make, though, is this all gets way more difficult when you're talking about someone who represents a danger to themselves or others. A very different category of offender, very different problem to define on how to provide services and safeguard the community and safeguard that individual. And that's way beyond the scope of a diversion program.
So this is sort of an internal attempt at criminal justice reform, right? And a way of making the system better and work better for people who maybe were caught up in it otherwise, right? There have been many discussions over the last year or so at the state legislature about efforts of criminal justice reform. Do you see opportunities to work with the state legislature to do things like this or expand programs like this? And are there, you know, efforts out there that you would support?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, when we first started this program a couple of years back, we shared this information with other county attorney's offices and with legislators to let them know what we were doing. Efforts like this oftentimes don't get highlighted. This doesn't fit the narrative of prosecutors wanting to incarcerate everybody. So it's in some ways unique to get this kind of a focus. But with that initial intervention program and what we were doing, members of the legislature saw that. They were very encouraging for it, and they gave rural counties $250,000 to start up similar efforts. This office and other prosecutors, too, as we've had these conversations about how to improve criminal justice system outcomes, we've been trying to get people to recognize and understand what we are doing, how we're able to use tools that the legislature has given us in order to provide people opportunities to avoid felony convictions and those collateral consequences. It's just, you know, this isn't the sexy side of the criminal justice system, because there's no judge there who's pounding down a gavel and saying, you've done great, go on with your life.
Last question I want to ask you is about the potential legalization of recreational use of marijuana in the state. There's an initiative, the language was released just last week and should be on the 2020 ballot. They're collecting signatures now. I know that the group that put that initiative together worked with groups who were against it last time around and who have been against the idea of legalization of recreational marijuana in the past. Did you get a call, and are you willing to sort of talk about supporting something like this? I know you've been outspokenly against it before.
Yeah, I wasn't part of any of those conversations, and I don't feel slighted at all. I haven't read the initiative, and so there really isn't anything that I can say about it at this point.
Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for focusing on this.